joy to be here. Can you amen to that?
Amen.
What a wonderful, wonderful day that we've had in the Lord. And oh, last night's service was great, and God blessed and God moved. And appreciate the messages this morning. Brother Grant, wow. I'm glad God's got another move. Amen. And Ron, I want to tell you something. You are very special to us. This church, and Brother Ron, you're very special, and your church is very special to us. You come to our camp meetings, and it's always good to be in service with you. And Rhonda, you and your husband's picture is on our closet. My wife has a prayer board there, and she walks in there every day, and your picture's on there. And right above your picture, it says, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that healeth thee. And I just want to say this to you today. I'm not going to preach on this. I want to say this to you. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my rock, He's my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Rhonda, you're not going to be afraid for the terror by night, or for the arrow that flies by noonday, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. For 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at the right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Aren't you thankful for that? Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall be no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Verse 15, almost through. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and shew him my salvation. Rhonda, you are the head and not the tail. You're the apple of our Father's eye. And I know one day, hey, I watched you work. I looked at Tamara back there, and I watched you early this morning. Little old hand was quivering a little bit. And Brother Craig, I looked at her just a minute ago, and I seen that hand slip up. Her hands was as solid as my hands as she was praising God. God's good, amen? God's good. All right. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 2 Samuel 4 and 2 Samuel 9. A very familiar reading today. Brother, I told Tamara, I love the honesty of my wife. I do love the honesty of my wife. I can go home, Brother Lonnie, from church on Sunday morning, and we'll go eat lunch, and I say, baby, how'd it do? And sometimes Brother Craig, she'll say, babe, that was really good. And then sometimes she'd say, well, I've heard you do better. Well, I leaned over to her this evening after Brother Grant got done preaching. I'm going to tell you something. The Lord's in this house. During that message in that altar service, Lord's in this house. And I told Tamara, I said, they really don't need for me to preach. And I figured, she said, no, baby, you need to go ahead. She said, you know, you're right. You're right. Thank you. Amen. So anyway, I'll do my best with the Lord's help and anything like that. All right, 2 Samuel chapter number 4 and verse number 4. 2 Samuel 4 and verse number 4 says this, and Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and a nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass as she made haste to flee that he fell and become lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. Over in 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse number 4, it says this. Well, let's go up to verse 1. It says, and David said, is there yet any of that is left of the house of Saul that I may shew him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. Verse 3 says, and the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may shew of the kindness of God unto him? Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? Ziba said unto the king, behold, is he is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, in Lodebar. And the king sent, and then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, from Lodebar. I want to talk to you this afternoon just for a few minutes of time on this thought: home is where I belong. Home is where I belong. Let's pray. Father, we love you this evening, God, and we just want to thank you for your sweet presence. God, we thank you for every message. We thank you for every song. God, we thank you for the sweet presence of your Holy Spirit. And now, God, for the next few minutes of time, God, I need you. I know, Father, within my own self, I'm the weakest. But God, I need you to make me strong. And God, I need you to energize me, empower me by the Holy Ghost. I pray tonight or this evening that our ears and our hearts are open and be receptive. God, let us be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, I know that we've had a great altar service, and I pray, God, that if there's anyone here that did not come forward to receive you or to receive what they need, I pray, oh God, that you would move upon them this evening. And God, do a mighty, mighty work. I pray, God, for your people. I pray, God, that you would bless them, that God, when we all leave here this evening, God, we can say it's been good, and we all will leave differently than when we came. And God, we will honor you for it, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name. And everybody said amen and amen. Brother Craig, I like going places. I really do. A few weeks ago, Tamara and I, we slipped off on vacation. Brother Ron, I preached on Sunday morning, and after the morning service, we had taken our clothes to church, went in my office, put on my clothes, my traveling clothes, and we headed out on vacation. We were gone. It was about a 13-hour drive, and we just took our time, and we got there. We got there on Monday. We spent the night on the way and got there Monday. For the first couple, three or four days, maybe the three days we were there, man, we were excited, and we were going to see certain things. And Brother Craig, what she wanted to do? She wanted to go shopping. Amen. So what'd we do? We went shopping, and I'm telling you, we bought purses. I'm telling you, I've got a trunk full of them. If you'd like to have one, no, I'm teasing. But anyway, we shopped, and we had a glorious time. And we get down there about Thursday, and we're rocking on. And I've got a little girl back home that she stayed home. She started work, and this is the first time, Brother Mike, that she's not got to go on vacation with us. And she's kind of saddened. And every day we would talk to our daughter. We would talk to her, and she's back home. And there's something, even though we're having a good time, there's something on the inside of us that's pulling us home. It's pulling us home. We wasn't going to leave Brother Ron till Saturday, but we got around. We talked on Thursday night, and she said, "You know, what do you think about going home tomorrow? What do you think about getting ready, getting up early, and heading back home?" This is what she said. She said, "Let's go home and surprise our baby." And you know what? Home. I started thinking about home. I'm thinking home, Brother Grant, is where I belong. We got up that morning. We got in the car, and we headed back to Springdale, Arkansas. The only time we stopped, Brother Craig, was to get fuel and to run through a drive-thru to get something to eat. And every time the wheels would turn, I'm thinking, man, I'm going home. I'm going home. And I'd got down there across into the Arkansas line. I'm thinking, man, I'm in God's country now. I'm feeling home coming on me. I get down to about Alma. I turn on I-49 North, and Brother Mike, I'm thinking I'm almost there. And what joy that it was, Brother Craig, when I pulled in the driveway. I raised the garage door, and we went in. My little girl ain't got a clue that we're there. But brother, when she heard that we were coming home, and she heard her voice on the other end of the line, you talk about excitement, man, like you have never known. I want you to know, sometimes in this walk of life, we might think that we're destined to stay here, but I want you to know, home is where I belong. I've got an address, Brother Craig. It's 5708 South 60th Place in Rogers, Arkansas. That's my physical address. And when I was on vacation, that address is my home, and that was calling me there. But oh, in the spiritual realm, when this walk of life is through, I've got a home waiting on me in the glory world. The Lord said He's prepared a place for me. And if He's prepared a place for me, Brother Lonnie, He's going to come again one day and receive me unto Himself, that where He is, there I can be also. So listen to me, child of God. This is not our home. We are a pilgrim, and we are a stranger in this land. We didn't come to stay. Thank God we come to pass. Amen. Home's where I belong. Can you say amen? We look at our text today, Brother Craig, and we find, now there are things in life that happen to us because of the decisions that we've made. The Bible said, whatsoever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. If we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap of the flesh corruption. The Word of God tells us that. And there are decisions that we make in life that get us way out there away from God, and we've got to pay for those things. We can look at the prodigal son. In my mind, Brother Craig, he didn't wake up the morning and said, man, I'm leaving home today. He had thought about it in his mind a period of time back. He was tired of living where he was living and doing what he was doing. I don't understand that, because he had everything under heaven that he had ever wanted. But he made a conscious decision to leave the Father's house and to go his own way. And Brother Mike, when he got there, he lived up life for a little while. And brother, he got down on his luck. The Bible said there came a famine in that land, and he spent all he had on righteous living, and he was in a bad condition. And then he ends up down there in the pig pen. And brother, he's watching the pigs eat what they're eating. And the Bible said, Brother Lonnie, that his belly would faint after the husk that the swine did eat. I think, Brother Grant, what does that mean? That means this evening that what those pigs was eating was looking pretty good to him. And my favorite line in the parable of the prodigal is this: and then he came to himself. Amen. I'm going to tell you something this afternoon. There are times that we need to come to ourselves and realize what's going on around us. Do you realize this afternoon God's got more for us than sometimes what we think that we're experiencing? God's got blessings untold. He's got meat to eat that we know not of. He's got things that we've never tapped into, and we need to get our mind on those things. But the prodigal made the choice. Now he's in the pig pen, and thank God he come to himself. He said, home's where I belong, and then he went back home. But the point I'm trying to make to you, it was because of his decision that got him in his circumstance. But we're going to talk about a man that it wasn't his fault. He had nothing to do with it. It was something that just happened in his life, and his name was Mephibosheth. And we know the account of the text, Brother Craig. We look at the exile. We find here that Mephibosheth is exiled to a place that's called Lodebar. You've got to understand what Lodebar is. Lodebar means pasture. It means covered with grass for grazing. It also refers to a person's a situation of life. It refers to a place of nothingness, a people of nothing, a position of nothing, a place of true and complete poverty. This may be fine for some, but when you're a prince, it's a devastating place for you to be. He was the rightful heir to the throne, but because the events that happened in his life that was out of his control, he is now exiled to that place. I often think, Brother Ron, in the church, how many Mephibosheths do we have? Things come in their life. It wasn't of their own doing. It was just a circumstance of life that come on them, and they feel abandoned, and they feel heartbroken, and they say, God, it wasn't nothing I've done. And that may be true, but you feel that way. I want you to understand, you don't have to stay where you're at. Home's where you belong. You don't deserve down having nothing. You don't deserve not being in poverty. You don't deserve losing a rightful position. You need to get back home where you belong. You need to get back home where you belong. So Mephibosheth, he's exiled. He's exiled and he's cast away. He was exiled for one reason, and that reason was his crippled legs. He didn't cripple them. There was no cure. It was an innocent mistake, but nevertheless, it was life-changing. I want you to understand, Brother Lonnie, all you pastors, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here this afternoon when it comes to the church, but I see folks in the church today that they look at their circumstance, and people around them, Brother Lonnie, will even look at their circumstance, and they will identify them with their circumstance. I want you to understand something today. My circumstance does not identify who I am. And your circumstance does not identify who you are. You could come and you could tell me how down you are on your luck, and you can tell me all these things that are happening to you. Do you realize this morning or this afternoon, we all deal with mess of this life. We all deal with things that we wish we didn't have to deal with. The Word of God tells us many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And so let me tell you, child of God, we're going to go through life just because it is life. We're going to go through mess because that's what life has dealt us. Amen. How many folks you know in this church, our church, every church, and we'll hear this on a Sunday, every Sunday, pray for so-and-so, they've just been diagnosed with cancer. Well, they're children of God. What in the world are they doing? Hey, It's just life.
It's
just life. It comes that way. They didn't really have nothing to do with it. It might not have been. And there's been folks that say, well, boy, he smoked his life away. I want you to understand, Brother Grant, I know folks that never picked up a cigarette that's dying of lung cancer. They did nothing, but they have the disease. I want you to understand, and just because you might have the disease, it does not identify who you are. You are a child of the Most High God. You are a child of the Most High God. Not only do we see the exile, we see the execution that he was going to go. David made the statement, is there anyone that I can bless? Is there anyone that I can show kindness to? And the servant said, yes, there is one, and his name is Mephibosheth. And I love this, Brother Grant. He said, go fetch him and bring him back here. In my mind, Brother Lonnie, now I understand. A David could have had him killed. A David could have destroyed him and got him completely out of the picture. He was the rightful heir to the throne. But you know what David's got in his mind? Hey, where is this boy Mephibosheth? They said, well, he's down there in Lodibar. He said, he don't need to be in Lodibar. He needs to get back home where he belongs. He needs to get back home where he belongs. And the king's entourage goes after him. And this is just me, Brother Grant. As the king's entourage leaves to go to Lodibar to get this man, I see this as a picture of the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful today that the Holy Spirit can go where we don't think he can go. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful this afternoon that the Holy Spirit can go into the darkest and the most dreaded place in this walk of life and shine light into the darkness? And so we see the Holy Spirit go to Lodibar. And when they get down there, I'm thankful for this too, Brother Craig. The Holy Spirit will search you out. Hey, he'll search you out, man. If you, hey, I heard Brother Craig, I believe one time, preach over at Brother Lonnie's about the hounds of heaven. The hounds of heaven. He talked about an old hound, I believe you did, Brother Craig, on how an old coon hound or an old running hound will get on a trail, and that old hound will bark and will stay on that trail. He talked about the hounds of heaven. I believe that's what they do. The Lord will send the Holy Spirit down, and it'll get on us, it'll get on a trail, and it will locate you and will find you. And that's exactly what happened to Mephibosheth. And after they found him, they said, the king calleth for you. The king calleth for you. And so what do we see now, Brother Grant? We see the Holy Spirit turn into grace. Grace reaches down and picks Mephibosheth up in his condition, in his lameness, puts him on the king's chariot and said, we're going back home.
Amen.
Hey, I'm going to tell you something. I'm on the chariot.
Yeah.
I'm on the chariot this evening. Well, where are you going? I'm going home. That's where I'm going. I'm looking for a city whose builder and whose maker is God. That's where I'm going. Do you listen to me this evening? Do you not think that? Do you ever think about heaven? We sing old songs in the church there, Brother Ron. I've never been this homesick before. See the bright light shine. It's just about home time. I can see the family gathering around the door. This world has been a wilderness, but I'm ready for some deliverance. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Brother Grant, I can see the family gather. Sweet faces all familiar. No one's old or feeble anymore. This lonesome heart is crying. I think I'll spread my wings for flying. I've never been this homesick before. Oh, listen to me. I think if in the child of God, if they're really sincere and honest, I believe we are homesick to home. Amen? We're homesick to go home. But listen to this. They go down and they get in the Mephibosheth and they head back to the king's palace. And Brother Grant, let me detour right here and kind of just throw this in my own mind. I believe that in Lodibar, the sun didn't shine. There was no flowers in bloom. There was no leaves on the tree. It was a desolate and a barren land. In my mind, Mephibosheth had never known what it was to see the sun beam on his face. He had no idea what it was to hear the birds sing and to see the birds fly. He had no idea. But as he's on this journey, coming out of this desolate place, going back home, all of a sudden, Brother Craig,
the clouds roll back and the sun begins to penetrate on his face. He looks up on the ridge and he sees some flowers in bloom. He looks over here on the other side and he sees the lush grass. It's green. He's never seen it. He's hearing the birds singing. He's blown out of his mind. And he might have made a statement like this. He said, "How far is it until we get back to the king's palace?" And they said, "Well, it's not very far." He said, "If this is this good now, oh, how is it going to be when we get there?" Isn't that the way it is this afternoon? As they were singing and you were preaching and the glory of God was filling this house, I think, man, if it's this good now, how much sweeter is it going to be when we step over on the other side? Amen. Amen. Yes. Home's where I belong. So they go down. They're bringing him back to the king's palace. And they get there, Brother Craig. And he's going to have to face the king. You got to remember, he's been an outcast all of his life. From his 5 years old, here he comes in. He's going to have to face the king. Mephibosheth is thinking, "He's going to kill me." And the whole time, David's thinking, "Home's where you belong." Isn't it amazing how the devil will deceive a child of God? Isn't it amazing what the devil will put in our mind? Isn't it amazing? So what happens? In my mind, Brother Grant, here comes David. Mephibosheth is bowed before him. He hears David walking down the cobblestones of the palace, and he's going to have to encounter him. Brother Mike, I've always preached this backwards. I've always said that Mephibosheth had told him that he was nothing more than a dead dog, and then David tells him the blessing. That's not true. David tells him how he's going to bless him, and then he refers to himself as a dead dog. He said, "I didn't bring you back to harm you. Hey, home's where you belong. I've come back to bless you. I've got your house over here that's got servants in it. All you got to do is ring a little bell, and brother, they're going to come and they're going to rescue you, and they're going to give you anything that you need. But when you eat, you're not going to eat at their house. You're going to eat at my house." Boy, that sounds real good. But the problem was, Mephibosheth didn't believe it. He didn't believe it. Because in the next verse, he refers to himself as a dead dog. Now, Brother Lonnie, I don't understand that. If the king tells me what he's going to do for me, and he's brought me back to bless me, I really don't care what I think of myself. I'm not even going to mention it. He didn't. So I'm not going to. But I want you to understand something. It works exactly that way in the church today. We get up and we tell folks how good God is and what God wants to do for them and how God will change their life and how God will transform them and how God will take them out of the mess they're in. They act like they don't even believe it. And then we find where Mephibosheth refers to himself as a dead dog. "A dead dog as I am," he said. It's reference to the wild dogs of the east, which people hated and disliked to the point of killing them for their nuisance. Mephibosheth felt as though his life was nothing more than a nuisance to those around him, that death was all that was left. This was about the bloodlines and more about the loss of identity. Listen, David knew who Mephibosheth was. Listen, but Mephibosheth didn't know who he was. And that's the problem. Many times in the church, we don't even know who we are. We've lost our identity. Let me tell you who I am. Brother Grant, I can go down to my mama's. Now, none of you can do this like I can. Keep this in mind. Brother Lonnie, I can walk in mama's house, and guess what? I got a key. You ain't got a key to my mama's house, but I do. Why do I have a key? Because I'm her son. I can walk in, Brother Craig, and first thing my mama's going to do when I walk in there, especially if I surprise her, she's going to hug me. She's going to plant one on my cheek. And this is what one of the first things she's going to say to me. "Honey, are you hungry?
Amen.
Can I fix you anything to eat?" Why is she going to do that? Because I'm her son. I can sit down there. "No, Mom, I'm good." I can sit down in Daddy's recliner. I can start watching their TV. And I can sit there for a little while, Brother Craig. And if I want a snack, I don't even have to ask. I can get up out of the recliner. I can go to the refrigerator. I can open the door. And I can scan the shelves. I can scan it down and I can look in there, and if there's anything that I want in that refrigerator, I have access to it because it belongs to me. Why is that? It's because I'm the son. That's pretty good preaching right there. We as a child of God need to understand who we are in Christ Jesus. I can sit anywhere I want to. It's like the little lady. This was the time of segregation. A little black woman would get on the bus and she'd go all the way back to the back seat. But all one day she gets on the bus and she sits on the front seat. They all begin to scratch their head and wondered what in the world's taking place. I want you to know, as a child of God, I can get on the bus and I can sit anywhere I want to, because my Father, He owns the bus line.
Amen.
He owns the bus line.
Amen.
That's who we are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Hey, we're the head and not the tail. Somebody, this world don't know who you are, and they, Sister Rhonda, they don't know who I am, but let me tell you, our Heavenly Father knows who we are. Because we're a son and a daughter, and everything that God has, we have access to it because of the bloodline. We have been adopted in. Brother Mike, I'm telling you, I'm enjoying my own preaching. This may not be doing for none of y'all, but it's helping me out. I was born a snow. My daddy's a snow. My mom was a Parks, but she became a snow when she married my daddy. On June the 17th, 1967, they had a baby boy. And brother, I've got my dad's bloodline on the snow side in me. I was born. But on a September night in 1989 on a Tuesday, I knelt at an altar of prayer. And you know what? I was adopted into the family of God. Amen. And because of that adoption, I'm royalty tonight. I'm royalty tonight. And my Father knows me as son. It's not about being arrogant. It's not about being conceited. It's about knowing who we are in Christ Jesus. Listen to me. Home's where we belong. Are you with me? Say amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So we see the exile, and we see the execution, and now we see the exaltation. He lived, he dwelt in Lodibar, but he had a change of location. He started living in Jerusalem. He had a change of place, position, and prosperity. He started eating at the king's table. Now this, I'm going to be done. I'm through, I promise. One scripture, 2 Samuel 9, says this. Now listen, he's come home where he belongs. He's back where he needs to be. He's going to eat at the king's table. He's going to experience the king's blessing. But the Bible still says that he's lame on both of his feet. Once again, we look at somebody, you could have looked at Mephibosheth and said, well, bless his heart, he's the lame boy. He's the lame boy. And his lameness identified who he was. Listen to me. That didn't identify who he was at all. He was a prince. And he come back home to where he belonged. There's been enough God, and this was just a formality, me preaching today. There's been enough God in here to change this world. There has been. There's been enough God to change the world. But some of you may have lost your identity. You have forgotten who you are. Home is where you belong. Home is where you belong. Mephibosheth was exiled. And you may feel like you're exiled. You may feel like you are a type of Mephibosheth. Man, I just can't seem to get in tune with God. I just can't. The flowers ain't blooming spiritually in my life, and the birds ain't singing, and I just feel like I'm in a desert land. I just want you to know you don't have to stay there.
Yeah, amen.
Because home's where you belong.
Yes. Yes.
And why don't you just come home? The Holy Spirit's come by to get your attention, to tap you on the shoulder, and just say, I've come to take you home.
Yeah.
I've come to get you back to where you need to be. Some of you here tonight or this evening, and Brother Ronnie, and this is a whole other sermon. I don't want to get into it. We're living in what I call a hyper grace movement. Hyper grace. It's sweeping through the church. Oh, we can do anything we want because we're under grace. That's a lie. That's a lie. I'm going to tell you, grace is bigger than sin. Grace is greater than sin. But grace doesn't give us a license to sin. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. But I want you to understand something. There's a lot, I feel, of false teaching on our televisions concerning this subject. We're sitting around, God, this on TV too, ain't it? All right. Let me tell you what where we're headed in the church. Young man, I know him. I know him personally. He stood behind my pulpit years ago and preached. That's when he was doing right. And there's a lot of people, there's a lot of people that started out doing right and living right and walking right. But now they're not walking as right as they need to be walking. And it always seems to me, I'm talking about preachers. I'm not even talking about the rest of y'all, preachers. It seems like they always, when they get involved in this grace thing, it always deals that they start drinking alcohol. Oh, that's good preaching right there. They always get tangled up in alcohol and they think that, hey, this is what they think. I'm the elect of God. I can do about anything I want to do because grace is going to cover me. I'm going to tell you something. They better get their blinders off their eyes and realize that God is holy. He expects us to be holy. And a Christian shouldn't be living that way and doing the things of this world. When I got saved, Brother Grant, God pulled me out of that mess. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing and I will receive you. God pulled me out of the miry pit, out of the horrible clay, set my feet on a rock and establish my goings. You know what else he done, Brother Ron? He put a new song in my mouth. I don't sing the song of the world. Now I sing the song of the redeemed, and I don't want to go back singing the song of the world. Amen. Now listen to me. They've left home. I tell you what they are. They're the prodigal. They've left home. And now they're out in the world. And right at this moment, it's righteous living for them. They think they're all right. The other night in revival, Brother Danny was talking about not taking ungodly counsel. And I'm going to tell you something. We better be careful who we're listening to. If whoever it is you're listening to, you can't back up with the Word of God, you better not be listening to them. You better not be listening to them. If they tell you it's okay to do this and the Word of God tells you it's not, you better stay with God's Word. Amen. I'm glad I'm last today because I'm blowing out of here in a little bit. But listen to me. You leave home. Folks have left home and they're down walling. Hey, let me tell you what's happening. They've left. They one time were in sin. They've experienced the grace and the anointing and the blessing of God. And they're like the Word of God says, Brother Lonnie, when the dog will go back to the vomit. And the sow goes back to the wallowing in the mire. And there's where we are. But boy, we love Jesus and I'm full of grace. I'm going to tell you something. You better be careful. You better be careful. God expects us to live right, to do right, and to be right. And this evening, I think sometimes, Brother Craig, we go through the motions. We come to church and we know how to have church. But God ain't within a million miles of some of what's going on in my life. Hey, I can talk about my people because ain't none of them here. Amen. You know, folks come in, throw their hands up in there, and I know how they're living. And you know what? It makes me about half mad. It makes me madder than a hornet. Because I know how they're living. They're unfaithful to the house of God. They plant themselves on the front row. Oh, they throw their hands up in the air and they're living like hell. That's an abomination in the sight of God. Amen. It's an abomination. I've left my sermon. Now here we go. But we leave home and we go out and we mess around in the world. And they think they're okay because somebody's told them they're covered by grace. Somebody's told them they're covered by grace. Don't misunderstand me. I believe in security for the believer if you believe and walk it every day. But you have a will. And sometimes if you don't keep your will under subjection to the Spirit, your will, your old fleshly will start taking you over. And when your fleshly will starts taking you over, and you start indulging in the things that pleases your flesh and makes you feel real good and makes you feel pleasurable, I'm going to tell you something, you're in trouble. I don't know about any of you in here, but sometimes God wears me, my flesh, out. Because sometimes, Brother Lonnie, my flesh will rise up and God takes me to the woodshed and wears me out. And gives me a going over. And you know what? I thank God for conviction. I thank God for conviction. Because if you ain't got no conviction, hey, we're living in a world that nothing convicts us anymore. We can turn on TV, we can watch anything we want to, and nothing convicts us anymore. Sister Tamara, my wife, she said, honey, we're not going to watch anything. Boy, I tell you what. You can have a good show on there. You can watch it for so many episodes. And then all of a sudden, some man will start having a relationship with some other man.
Amen.
Or some woman will start having a relationship with some woman. You know what that is? That's the enemy trying to slide that into our homes. And Tamara, my wife, she'll say, honey, we ain't watching it no more. We ain't watching it one more time. So what do? We don't watch it. We don't need to be watching that kind of stuff. We'll watch something, be a good show, all of a sudden they'll start cussing a blue streak. She'll say, we're not watching that. We're not watching that. Oh, Brother Clark, it's just one word here, one word there. I'm going to tell you something. You start hanging around people that start using one word here and one word there, it won't be long till you'll start using one word here and one word there. That's good preaching. I think I got the spirit of Danny Ledbetter on me. But I'm telling you the truth. God don't want us to have any part of that mess. You know where you belong? You belong home. Home's where you belong. Hey, would y'all just come do me one verse? I'm through. Thank you. Thank you, man. Thank you so much.